Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is Tuesday, July 18th, and tonight we are saying, with regard to Russian intervention in American elections and the rest of the fake news, foreign government interference by America goes back to George Washington's financial support for the Haitian slaveholders against the freedom struggle in Haiti. This fake news about Trump and Russia actually pales beside the Monroe Doctrine and a minimum of 84 international interferences recently by this government. So once again, we say Russian intervention in American elections, oh please! I've got a bridge I want to sell you. So, without further ado, we're going to call on Brother Ralph, who's in the house. Brother Ralph Pointer.
Well, thank you so much for that, Betty. And this evening we have a wonderful program, and I'm going to try to be brief. You know how difficult it is for me to be brief. So we have wonderful people who are going to give us insights into what's really happening out there. But first, what I believe. The overriding element in every situation or circumstance in a black life is racism. Birth, elementary school, housing, health, food, etc. Black lives have never mattered except during slavery and other circumstances where money is being made by our labors for others. The modern death penalty, 80% black, moved lynching indoors. The police, as the army of occupation, have taken lynching outside again. The lynch mob is the racist system, including the courts and the media. And because the lives of our heroes and sheroes who once protected us in our community do not matter to us, the people, our political prisoners are now dying in captivity. They are tortured and isolated. Only armed struggle can recreate our image in our own minds as well as the minds of others. wake up, now is the time. Now, I've said, we have so much to talk about, and it's all about education of the people. But there is some comedy in this struggle that we have, this war of words, if I might say. And in this war of words, one of the funniest things that I've heard recently is a Negro politician. And I use the term Negro in a negative manner. A Negro politician recently said he was talking about the integrity of American democracy is being interfered with by Russia. And as Sister Betty had stated, it began, the interference, other people's politics began a long time ago with George Washington sending money to Haitian slave owners to put down the righteous struggle for freedom that was taking place in Haiti. And as Sister Betty mentioned, 84 interferences in foreign politics by America in recent years has been documented. And when you talk about interfering, as Sister Betty had said, the Monroe Doctrine, saying we're going to interfere in everybody's election and everybody's government in this hemisphere. Well, it started a long time ago, and it continues. And, well, as I said, there are so many people to speak on issues to educate us tonight. I'm going to cut it short, although there was much I would like to continue speaking about, and I'm going to turn it back to Sister Betty. Sister Betty, would you?
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Ralph. We will be getting back to you on this theme about intervention in other governments, politics, elections, and freedom. But before that, we want to acknowledge that Brother Larry Pinckney is in the house. Brother Larry, you have the mic, and we can see that some of our special guests have signed in. We will be getting to them shortly. Brother Larry Pinckney, former political prisoner and jailhouse lawyer who got himself out, and a Black Panther.
Thank you, my sister. Greetings to you, Sister Professor Betty Davis, to my colleague and brother. You know, brother, what can I say, Brother Ralph? Greetings to you, love and strength. Greetings to everyone who will be not only speaking on this show, this program, but who will be listening. Love and strength to all of you. Aluto continua, the struggle continues. In fact, the struggle intensifies.
Yeah.
I want to remind everyone that 2 days from now, I believe today is the 18th of July, 2017. Two days from now, on the 20th of July, is the birthday of the late, great Frantz Fanon, the author of many books, including Black Skin, White Mask, and, of course, The Wretched of the Earth. I wonder what Brother Fanon would be thinking now if he were alive, what he would be saying. But there is so much that we can learn from what this brother wrote. It was almost as if he was a prophet, which is a word I don't like. But let me just say, he had vision and he wrote about it. So let's rejoice that Brother Frantz Fanon's birthday is coming up on the 20th. Let's remember. I want to say, as always, and emphasize, as always, we must free all of our political prisoners, every single one of them. They are in a gulag situation, and many have been in that gulag situation for decades and decades and decades. This must not be allowed, as I say every week, because if we do not free them, then we are not free. So all of our black, white, brown, red, and yellow brothers and sisters and brothers must be free in order that we ourselves free ourselves as human beings. I'm not going to take a lot of time either, Brother Ralph, Sister Betty. I, again, can never overemphasize the need to free our political prisoners in this U.S. situation, U.S. indeed, these U.S. gulags. And with that, I want to say, as I always say, La Sima Tuchinde Mbila Shaka, we will succeed without a doubt. All power to the people. All power to the people. Free our political prisoners. I am looking forward with anticipation to listen to the words of strength, wisdom, and vision that I know our other guests will be presenting. So I shall be listening and will perhaps pipe in, but mostly I will be listening. Thank you so much. All power to the people.
All power to the people.
Okay, thank you so much for that, Brother Larry. We have, speaking of political prisoners, we have a political prisoner to be on our program this evening, recently released, Reverend Edward Pinckney. But before that, we're going to go to our poet, Nat Turner. Nat Turner, are you in the house?
Yes, I'm here.
Give us some of your wonderful words of wisdom, and as Lynn Stewart said it, words spoken in a manner that makes you feel that spoken in any other way is insufficient. Our poet, Nat Turner.
This piece is called My First Jazz Mobile Experience. Oh, what a feeling, feeling mighty fine, sharing salad, tomatoes from the vine. What swinging band and swinging drummer, this lovely Harlem evening summer. Bad hombres swinging like insanity, grooving high on hits of humanity. Mother of all blues, response to call for the 99% inclusive of all. Healing, feeling, horns, sticks, and vocal folds. Healing indigo blues to common colds. Muting barrages of big lie headlines. Modulating stress of drop-dead deadlines. Dancers, all colors getting wilder. Wetter, dazzling hot steps showing we're better than warheads, much less than essential, than war criminals, wrapped presidential, killing people's babies, splattering brains, robbing hoods, schools, bridges, and trains, riffing old thou two-party monkey shine. But we praise jazz for this piece, 5-9.
Very great, as usual. It makes you feel in a manner that nothing else or no other way of speaking can make you feel. Thank you for that, and I'm going to request that again, because these summer nights, listening to the Jazzmobile and having a political awareness is extremely unusual and extremely pleasant. Thank you, Brother Nat. And we promised you that we would have a political prisoner on, an ex-political prisoner, someone who understands what this struggle is all about. Reverend Edward Pinckney, are you in the house?
Before he speaks, I'd like to make a correction. I'd like to say he is a recently released political prisoner, because we had Sister Lynn in the house. We had Brother Larry, thank goodness, who's still with us. So we want to call him a recently released political prisoner. And we want to acknowledge that Brother Tariq was also once a political prisoner, and so were you, Mr. Poynter. So this is a what we call a group of criminals, the usual suspects. Go ahead, Brother Pixie.
I just want to say that I am really, really excited. Ralph, Betty, Larry, and everybody else that's on there. Hey, this has been a tremendous run. I tell you, I don't even know what to tell you. I'm so excited. July 8th, Ralph came in and rung my bell because he was at the welcome home that was given in Detroit by a group of people, and I didn't anticipate that it would be all that, and it was wonderful. People came from all over the country to be there, and Ralph sat right next to me. He that was my man. He got up and spoke and told a story, which was really, really tremendous. And I tell you, the whole ordeal was just tremendous, and it's still ringing now. People from all over the country and stuff like that has been calling and trying to get me to come that way and stuff like that. But it's time that we try to pull this thing together. It's going to take unification to resolve some of the issues and deal with some of the prison mentality that we have out here in the real world, you know, because we got to change the way we do business. We can no longer continue the way we've been doing things because it's time that we decided that it's going to be one way or the other. It's nothing that going to happen unless we make it happen. I tell people all the time, I fight for people who don't have the courage to fight for themselves and their family and their children. And we have to continue to do this because it's amazing when you sit down and think about it. During that July 8th celebration, I told them a short story about how things happen inside the prison system, and it was a tremendous beginning, but it shows what we can do with the young folks. See, my level of concentration now is on young folks. I'm going to surround myself with the young folks and get them in order, and which I was fortunate to do while I was in prison. But I'm just happy tonight. I'm just feeling good all over, and you know, it's an honor to be here on your show, Ralph. You know, you and Betty and with Larry and everybody, Nat Turner, the whole group. I'm comfortable, and I feel so good that, you know, I couldn't even sit here and tell you how good I feel. And this is just the beginning.
Reverend Pinckney, how did your July 7th protest turn out?
Oh, it was tremendous. Matter of fact, they came from all over. They had all people from all over also came July the 11th. We had a tremendous turnout, which I didn't anticipate that people would come out, even people from Benton Harbor. You know, that's the shocking part. People from Benton Harbor actually came, walked across the bridge to walk with us. And it was so many people that, and they brought almost the whole sheriff department there. And not only did we protest at the courthouse, we walked down to Whirlpool Corporation and gave them a little something because it's my understanding that 79 people was killed in London by a Whirlpool Corporation refrigerator was responsible for the fire starting, and they still haven't found some of the people that was involved. And we labeled them as being terrorists now because they knew that the refrigerator was faulty, but yet and still they kept it on the market. There was no recall. There was no nothing. And so we gave it down and gave them something. And the police were once again surrounded them. We don't care about them. Like I told them, it's not important what they do. It's what we do. That's what counts. And I tell you, Betty, it was tremendous. We had one of the longest lines that you can ever see, you know. And we had them walking in single file, so it almost took forever, you know. But it was just a beautiful sight just to see people from Benton Harbor finally standing up. And one of the things I noticed since I came home, they look like they right now they're willing to do something that's important. One of the reasons why I went to prison back in 2014 was because we had put together the income tax where we was going to tax these corporations. And that's what they didn't want. But on yesterday, the city council voted with my approval to have the income tax put back on the ballot for November. So, which is a major victory and a major defeat for Whirlpool Corporation. And I'm going to continue this fight. I'm not going to sit around and just do nothing. I'm going to continue doing what I do. And I have to tell you all, and I really, really appreciate this opportunity, and I'm not going to take up too much of your time. I'm just happy to be on the show, Betty and Ralph, Larry, and all the rest of y'all. And listen, you know, just keep me in your prayers.
Well, we're going to do more than that. We're going to keep you in the action. As Queen Mother Moore said, what was the result of the meeting? And she would ask that after every meeting. What was accomplished? And we're going to insist that you play a greater role in our events, the events of the people, because we were slaves before, but now we are ruled by slaves. Glenn Ford calls it the misleadership class. We acquiesce with mentally imposed desires. They called it metaphysical imperialism. But the answer is we have to put leaders before us that people can identify with, leaders who have a track record of telling the truth. And I see Reverend Pinckney to begin with, and I want people to join with me. Where should Reverend Pinckney go next? And I'm talking about mayor of Benton Harbor, state senator, congressperson, because you have walked the walk as well as talking the talk. And thank you, and we will continue, and I'll turn it back to Sister Betty.
Before we go
so
to Ralph Shulman, whose time is short, but he wanted to join us this evening, I want to acknowledge that we would love to have Brother Pinckney, if he can. I don't know what the restrictions are on his traveling, but Black is Back is having a conference August 12th and 13th in Chicago at the Chicago State University, and you would be one of the political prisoners that a lot of people would like to hear from. Just something to think about, and we'll talk about that later. Also, like
send me,
to announce
send me the
that,
information. Send me all the information.
Oh, also, we want to say 39 years is too long, and we want to free the Move 9. August 5th in New York City, the House of the Lord Church is going to be reminding people about the Move 9. And last but not least, Reverend Pinckney, I just want to alert you that we're trying to launch or continue to launch the effort to free Mamiya via a new trial. And everybody's getting on board with that one. I know you'd want to step in front of that one, too. So it's
absolutely.
Just, you know, there's a lot that we all can be doing. And I thank you, and I honor you, you and people like Brother Larry and Ralph and Brother Tariq. You know, you went into the death camp, and we're happy to have you back with us. You don't know how happy we are to have you back. And without further ado, I want to acknowledge one of the members of the Lynn Stewart Defense Committee, who along with Brother Larry Pinckney and Jericho and, you know, International Action Center played a major part in getting that petition out there and getting Lynn in the hearts of the world. Brother Ralph Shulman, the mic is open.
Hi, Betty. Good to be with you. Good to be with you, Reverend Pinckney. And mighty congratulations. It's a wonderful development. It's a tremendous inspiration to everyone who's struggled and continues to struggle. And you mentioned, Betty, the ongoing question of getting a new trial for Mumia, which is on everyone's mind and a particular focus. There's a major event taking place over the weekend in Cleveland, a labor event involving major trade unions and major trade union representatives and activists, a long list of speakers, and engaged in the process of trying to build a movement to make sure that new trial is forced upon the ruling class, which is, of course, very skilled at maneuvering to prevent any of the formal issues from being revealed and exposed, particularly the fact that the prosecutor who had called for no blacks on the jury and who had set the stage for the framing of Mumia, then turns himself into one of the judges ruling on the criminal rulings that he himself had made violating the law. This is subject to exposure, subject to change, and subject to struggle, and it's part of the focus right now. I think we should all get behind that and do it in a very important and significant way.
Well, thank you so much for that, and the more the merrier is a good way of describing the movement to free Mumia. It was once a large movement. We have to equal that or even have a greater movement. And there's so much to talk about, but I think we're hitting the highlights of things, of our political prisoners. And when we talk about America, and as Betty mentioned in the beginning, George Washington sent money to the slaveholders in Haiti to support the liberation struggle in Haiti. And we must, update it again. Robert E. Lee's request of Southern citizens to feed his Confederate army was stated this way: feed the soldiers who fought for your freedom. That tells us, again, that shows that American freedom was based and synonymous with slavery yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Many people of color refuse to accept this off-stated and obvious reality. The recognition of this reality and refusal to accept this reality is the divide that exists in the community of people of color. We must remember chivalry, honor, devotion, bravery are words used in America by Americans to define those who defended slavery. Folks, we are in trouble. It has always been that way, and we must educate those who are not aware that our political prisoners, those people in the death camps now, are those who understood a long time ago what has to be done. And until we understand that our freedom is based on their freedom, we will always be in trouble. Let us free our political prisoners, all of them. And once again, along with Sister Betty, I thank those on this program and everyone who helped free Lynn Stewart to give her those 3 years to join our struggle once again to free them all. As Fred Hampton says, what's the call? Free them all. Sister Betty Davis.
I can't help this, Ralph. This comes under the heading of the devil made me do it. While I have you and I have Larry Pinkney, I want to just get your thoughts on the concept of Russian intervention in our politics. Do you guys want to give me a quick shout-out about that?
Want me to respond, Sister Betty?
Yes, and then Ralph Shulman, if you'll chip in, I'd appreciate it.
Be happy to. I want to remind our brothers and sisters that the United States is the largest prison population in the world. Of every major nation on earth, the U.S. has the highest per capita rate of incarceration. The Bureau of Justice Statistics shows something in the order of 7 million prisoners. Of adults under correctional supervision, the total official number is 6,977,700. But the Vera Institute of Justice reported that the jails and prisons throughout the United States have become, quote, warehouses for the impoverished, unemployed, underemployed, mentally ill, those suffering from addiction, and those lacking the ability to post bail. And even the Human Rights Report of 2014 states that these so-called tough-on-crime laws adopted in rapid succession have filled prisons across the United States with nonviolent offenders, the large majority of them innocent of any offense whatsoever. In fact, the supermax prisons secreted across the length and breadth of the U.S. have prisoners held in 24-hour solitary confinement with sensory deprivation on a massive scale. It's an ever-expanding gulag of people buried alive, people without funds, people without defense, people without advocates, human contact, or the prospect of relief. That's the basic reality. In fact, the conclusion that we reached when we were doing this critique was that every single one of the multitude of prisoners buried alive in this vast gulag is a political prisoner, a designed victim of the criminalization of poverty, a target of a minute ruling class that has established a dictatorship of finance and corporate capital that conducts a relentless war of terror against the masses of our people, ever targeting the most vulnerable among us as an object lesson to us all. And the conclusion, it's time for freedom. For all the millions of victims of this vicious system, as the indispensable commitment on which the freedom of us all depends, that remains the basic perception, the basic reality, the basic institutional character of this rotten and degenerate system historically and currently under which we live and against which we have to struggle with clarity and determination.
Thank you. Thank you. But I have to apologize to Brother Larry because you just jumped right in there, Ralph, in response to what Ralph was saying about slavery. I hear what you've done. You've backed it up with statistics. But I want to hear what Larry has to say about this fake news business, Larry Pinkney. Give it to him.
Thank you. The fact of the matter is that this nonsense, this new McCarthyism being pushed by the Democratic Party primarily, but also in collusion with the Republicans, and most sadly in collusion with so many so-called progressives, and I say so-called, who are harping on so-called Russian Federation interference in the election. First of all, they should understand we don't have elections. We don't really have democracy. We have hypocrisy. So get real, first and foremost. Secondly, I think that it is time that people understand what the end game is with respect to continuing to have these persons that I've already described harp upon the so-called Russian interference. Why, interference is the middle name of the United States, the very middle name. It should be called the United States of Interference or the United Interference States, because it interferes throughout the world from 1700s, but I'm going to name a few. What happened in the quote-unquote election, we put the Shah in Iran. We put the Shah, the bloody dictator, the Shah, in power. Why, it was none other than the United States and its chicken little cohort, Britain. We put the dictator in power in Guatemala. Why, it was none other than the United States. Who interferes even with its so-called allies in France and Germany and Spain? Why, it's none other than the United States. We need to get real. We need to understand that this whole Russian interference thing is a ruse, R-U-S-E. It is a ruse to keep us off of our guard. This way we do not, if we get pulled in by this ruse, then we don't pay attention to the bread and butter issues that we should be paying attention to. It's not about Trump. It's about the system. And the system is a corrupt, despicable, and wicked system, and it has been since its very inception. Just ask the Haitians. Just ask the indigenous native peoples, not to mention the an ancestor of both the indigenous people and black Africans who were brought here in the bellies of slave ships. The very nerve of them, by them, I mean the power elite, the Democrats, the Republicans, I call them Republicrats, the very nerve and, unfortunately, so-called progressive, saying that we must pay attention to Russian interference. What we need to do is pay attention to how we, the people, black, white, brown, red, and yellow, our lives are interfered with every single day by a corrupt, violent, hypocritical government. a system that is based on that. So as to Russian interference, all I can say is get real.
Well, thank you so much for that. We're getting right to the point there, so I'm going to switch back to Sister Betty for our next guest.
All right, well, we know this voice. And after that, we got Tom and we got Joel in the house. So we hope all of you will just hang in there to hear what Tom and Joel have to say. But we have to have our update from Ann Lamb. And Ann, I understand that Brother Bowers got his chemo treatment recently. Is that
a
fact?
Yes, he is receiving his chemo treatment. Yes, I have an update on that too.
Right, go for it, Ann.
Right now, okay. Baranza's Health, I just got this from Paulette. I had planned on visiting Baranza while I was in Virginia, but that didn't happen, as after his first round of chemo, he developed pneumonia. Baranza called us twice and again today. He is finished with the antibiotics and sounded wonderful. He will start round two on Wednesday, which is tomorrow, which consists of him sitting in a very comfortable chair, and the chemo bag is hung, which goes through, a thing in his arm. The first bag takes 4 hours, a second bag takes 2 hours, and the third bag 1.5 hours. That's a long time. He says he sits there meditating and accepting the chemo. He wants everyone to know he's getting good care, and the medical staff have been great to him. But humble Veranza says not to worry about him and keep up the struggle. You can send him a funny get-well card, as he said he enjoys them, but not much energy for writing. Veranza Bowers, 35316-136, FMC Butner, Box 1600, Butner, North Carolina, 27509. And, of course, if you go to either the JerichoMovement.com or JerichoTheNY.org, you will find his address there. So I would encourage everybody to take the time and send him a nice card or letter. Let him know that people care and are still worried and concerned about him, especially since he should have been out in 2004, max release date. All right? So he's only being held in prison because of illegal shenanigans by the Federal Parole Commission, including former AG Alberto Gonzalez. There were all kinds of illegal shenanigans going on there. So, you know, it would be really important for people to write to Veranza at this time. Also, I have a couple of other updates. I got a letter from Jan Lammen yesterday, which was dated July. Yeah, good news, right? I just got it from him yesterday. It was dated July 6th. He says, "Dear Ann, hi, how are you? I received your cool card like back in May and your good words and message that Ralph had words on my situation on the air." I wrote to him for Father's Day. So, yes, I'm still here in SEG. The prison here has signed off on the move to a CMU. Now the Western BOP Regional Office and a transfer center have to approve, then BOP DC headquarters. I have been receiving a good bit of support, lots of postcards and etc. My understanding is that a lot of people are contacting the regional office and DC as well. This is good and necessary, but I do realize that most of the time these prison bureaucrats get away with what they want. And for a CMU transfer, this is even more true. You know, it's pretty crazy. My obituary for Lynn and a greeting to a women's march are the two messages they found me quote-unquote guilty of sending. I mean, I've been observing and analyzing world and national events for decades. I do think this is part of a new wave of state repression, and particularly in the prison industrial complex. For the past year, they've been trying to silence me. Now they want to disappear me into a CMU cage. And beside all that, I'm okay. Yeah, I'm used to doing a lot of yoga in a very small, hard surface space. Ha, he says. Hope you are doing and feeling well. Do give my warm revolutionary regards to folks, certainly Ralph and family. Mail here is very slow and worse, so I am numbering all my letters. For freedom, Jan. So what people need to do, well, it's wonderful, but what people need to do is call and write Mary M. Mitchell, who is the regional director of Western BOP, and Thomas R. Kane, who is the director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons in D.C., and you can even send a message through their website. So once again, if you go to JerichoNY.org, all of this is right on the front page. Very important to try to prevent Jan being sent to the CMU. We also have an update from our brother Kevin Rashid Johnson. I won't read it. It's very long and detailed. It's very good. I have the link right on the front page. Once again, that's the SF Bayview. Excellent article, and also that people should write to Rashid right away. and the more mail he gets, the better. He's suffering a lot of repression. COs have straight up threatened to kill him in Florida. I kid you not. Yeah, people should read this article.
Did they transfer him to Florida?
He's in Florida right now. So he says he's off to Florida in a new phase of reprisals for publicizing abuses in U.S. prisons. So that's where he is now. We have an address for him. They gave him a new number. He's Kevin Johnson, 0158039, RMC, P.O. Box 628, Lake Butler, Florida. Now, whether that's going to be his permanent abode or not, we don't know yet. He doesn't know either. The article is excellent. It's his article in his own words, very well written, very detailed of all the things that have been going on. So I can't read the whole thing because it would take, you know, at least 20 minutes. But
I read it.
Definitely.
But
it's very good, right, people?
Appreciate it the way you did.
Yeah.
I want to emphasize that Ann Lamb and Paulette, the two, they visit these people at their own expense. And they go everywhere. There is a political prisoner in need. And we really thank them because this is helping to keep them alive. Brother Ralph?
And we're going to have to do something about that. And
One more thing, just quickly, about Robert Seth Hayes, my friend Seth. He's doing better in terms of his sugar fluctuations, but he still has not been given the monitor for the insulin pump. So he really needs the monitor so he knows when the sugars are high or low so he can then, you know, act accordingly. So I'm asking people to call Sullivan to speak with the superintendent. That is still also on the first page of JerichoNY.org. So there's three things people can do for three separate prisoners, and I would advise everybody to please do these things. They do make a difference. Sometimes people think, oh, what the hell, I make a phone call. It's not going to make any difference. It can make a difference. We have saved people's lives with these phone campaigns and calling campaigns and writing campaigns. We have, and we know we have. So, you know, it's really important for people to do what seems to be a minor thing, or you say, you know, it's not going to make any difference. Well, yeah, it can. Because if everybody doesn't think that way and everybody does it, all of a sudden BOP is like, oh, my God, we got thousands of people calling for Jan Lahman. Maybe we better not move them, right? You know, these kinds of things do matter. Well, like in the case of Lynn, right? You know, we bought
Well, Lynn,
right,
explicitly, those letters change the nature of the way the prison as well as the inmates reacted to her.
Absolutely.
And when she described the day that she got 101 pieces of mail, it changed everything for her in this death camp. So we must do the same. This is what she had dedicated the rest of her life to, as our political prisoners. And Jan, my God, Jan, one of the wonderful people from a long time ago who understood and acted on what he understood. Don't bring me to tears here. I'm about to say, Sing Ann, and that goes too far. Ann Lamb is not a saint, but she has saintly-like thoughts. And Paulette, saints, doing our work. We should be doing that, but it's the people's work, and I have the greatest respect for those who take their work seriously. Continue, Ann. We're going to do better by you and the political prisoners that you represent.
Well, I am going to take you up on that offer to go and visit, and I just wanted to say very briefly, many moons ago when I was a very small person, I was known as Saint Anne of Highbridge.
Okay, that's great. They knew it before we did.
All right. Brother Tom, your mic is open, and Brother Joel, you're going to take us home. So, Brother Tom, give us your pearly words of wisdom.
Greetings to all my sisters and brothers on this blog. I'd like to do a little history that, of course, most Americans are totally ignorant of our history. Many say that the United States has lost its way and we should go back to our democratic principles. But despite pronouncements about all men are created equal and freedom of speech, in reality, the United States has never lost its way, that these pronouncements were hypocritical rhetoric from its founding. And this country has been always based and is based on racism, exploitation of labor, and war. And I'd like to go back a little bit, over 100 years to the turn of the century, around 1900, and talk a little bit about one of the real leaders that fought for freedom in this country, and that was Eugene Debs. He was one of the founders of the Socialist Party of America and also the Industrial Workers of the World, the IWW. He was the socialist candidate for presidency five times from 1900 through 1920. Once he was in prison, and he ran for Congress in 1916. On June 18, 1918, in Canton, Ohio, he denounced, as he had often done in the past, the unholy alliance between capitalism and war, the use of the working class by the capitalists as cannon fodder in World War I, and the Wilson's administration persecution of anti-war activists, unionists, socialists, communists. President Wilson, who had a deep hatred toward Debs, had him arrested under the Sedition Act, which made it a crime to, quote, willfully utter, print, write, or publish any disloyal, profane, scurrilous, or abusive language about the form of government of the United States. Well, Debs did not contest these charges, and at his trial, this is what he said just before he was sentenced to a 10-year prison term and stripped of his citizenship. Your Honor, years ago I recognized my kinship with all living beings, and I made up my mind that I was not one bit better than the meanest on earth. I said then, and I say now, that while there is a lower class, I am in it, and while there is a criminal element, I am of it, and while there is a soul in prison, I am not free. I listened to all that was said in this court in support and justification of this prosecution. I look upon the espionage law as a despotic enactment in flagrant conflict with our so-called democratic principles. Your Honor, I've stated that I am opposed to the social system in which we live, that I believe in a fundamental change. Standing here this morning, I recall my boyhood. At 14, I went to work in the railroads. I remember all the hardships and privations of that earlier day, and from that time until now, my heart has been with the working class. I could have been in Congress long ago, but I have preferred to go to prison. I am thinking this morning of the men in the mills and the factories and the men in the mines and the railroads. I'm thinking of the women who are compelled to work out their barren lives, of the little children who in this system are robbed of their childhood and in their tender years are seized in the remorseless grasp and forced into industrial dungeons. I see them dwarfed and diseased and their little lives broken and blasted because of this high noon of so-called Christian civilization. Money is still so much more important than the flesh and blood of children. In very truth, gold is God today and rules with pitiless sway in the affairs of men. And so nothing has changed. And of course, for saying these things, he was convicted and put in jail for 10 years.
Woo! Yes. As you have stated, it goes on a long time, and to continue talking about the working class and the struggle of the working class, there's a film of Blood on the Mountain, and it's about a situation on Blair Mountain in West Virginia. In 1921, 10,000 miners fought a nine-day war on that mountain, battling thousands of company thugs, the state police, and ultimately the U.S. Army. Scores died. Over a million rounds of ammunition were fired. This is what the working class has been through. It wasn't the perfect strike. It was of the miners in West Virginia, the United Mine Workers, who once were 500,000 strong, and now they are 14,000 working in the mines today. We have been through struggle, and we must continue to struggle to make it better, and I've been given the hook one more time, and I'm going to have to turn it back to Sister Betty. Thank you, Tom.
All right. Brother Joel, your mic is open, and I see we have another guest. The last four digits are 822. So,
yes,
Brother Joel, please go right ahead, my dear.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we
can.
Can
you hear me? Okay.
Yes, we can.
Yes, there were two major topics today. The prison system, of course, and the so-called hoax, the fake news of interference by the Russian Federation in the U.S. election. And I'd like to say that it's really one topic, because the government is shaped by the fact that so many people and so many ideas are incarcerated, and they become the forbidden ideas. And the so-called political debates at the center of these elections is filtered out into only fake news and lies, one against the other. I'd like to point out, he's not a major figure in terms of revolutionary leadership, but somebody who ever so mildly went on record, I would say not as a real opponent of Hillary Clinton for the nomination of the Democratic Party for president, but more of a sparring partner in the debates, and that's Bernie Sanders. And they're going after him and his wife. They're going after him over some fake real estate that they're hoaxing up into a some sort of a crooked deal. When you look at the corrupt real estate industry, the way it's operating in New York, Donald Trump at one time being one of the main faces representing that industry, it's nothing but corruption. And it's not just corruption, but it's a scheme to throw people out of their houses, out of their homes, onto the streets by the thousands, and to transform the cities into places like in that movie Metropolis, where only the upper class would have even an apartment, and everybody else would be confined to live in underground, in underground basement under the city, rather than in the city. That's what this is becoming, with systematic gentrification and so on. So so we see that even the mildest opponent of not the system itself, but of certain policies that are revolting almost everybody in the country, is already being made an example of. So now people in their unconscious minds are being induced to think, wow, if you speak out with ideas so mild as those of Bernie Sanders, you could be in prison. So you better not. You better shut up, right? This is the real message of the ruling class, and that's why we don't really have elections. We have selections of people who are suited to run nothing but a tyranny. That's what this country increasingly is. It's a tyranny because there's only a facade of any sort of input from the regular population. And even that is manipulated by the media, which supplies the database, and again by the prison system reinforcing the limits of what kind of ideas can even be expressed in the media or even privately. And the so that the country is becoming more or less one large person. The president, the title president should be changed to the warden of the United States, or maybe the United Snakes, because that's really what we're living under increasingly, and we have to become aware of that. If anyone really believes in the type of freedom that hypocritically this country was founded on the basis of, I say hypocritically, but the regular people, a lot of the regular people believe in something like that. Definitely time to revolt. It's definitely time to establish real democracy, which means the power of the people. And that means that people have to get together and fight for every inch of every inch of freedom that's right now under attack by this system, by the big money, and by the tyranny that's inherent in that lopsided big money concentration that controls everything else and is able to deprive everyone of their means of life, of their sustenance, and their liberty, who even slightly goes up against it. And in terms I just want to finish off that when they talk about, when you remember the beginning of this presidential campaign, Trump was getting wall-to-wall coverage. You can't account for that by pointing at Putin. He wouldn't have been able to do that if he wanted to. It was, if anything, he was used to a certain extent to help put Trump into office by the powers that be. If he weren't doing what they want, he wouldn't be there. He'd be either in some prison or 6 feet under. That's what they did to Kennedy. And to this day, they're all covering it up. There's not one voice that speaks out clearly from a seat of power, even about the Kennedy assassination, which finished off whatever remnant of or simulation of a democratic republic we've had.
Thank you so much for that, Joel. And we have a guest, as Sister Betty is talking about.
All right. The last four digits are 8822. I opened your mic. If you wish to speak, please do so.
Well, this is Rose Creighton. I'm just listening. I haven't had a chance to tune in before, and I just wanted to listen tonight to see what was being said.
Oh, well, thank you. I want to acknowledge that Sister Rose is an incredible educator. She's an incredible dance instructor and a wonderful freedom fighter for the community, and she has fought long and hard for a relevant black curriculum in our public schools, and I thank her and acknowledge her for her struggle on behalf of educating our children, because we know cats don't educate mice, they eat them. I'm going to give it to Brother Ralph to take us home, and I want to thank all of you for your contribution this evening. Sister Rose, it is an honor to have you listening in. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have to understand that the peace and unity of America is based on the continuation of slavery that's in the South and the West and anti-black laws throughout America. Now, there were historians who talk about the mystery of peace between the North and the South. Well, that was never a mystery. The truth is that slavery continued in America under a different name, second-class citizenship, Jim Crow, segregation forever, etc., Rockefeller laws. The beat goes on, and we are here to stop that beat. We must, first of all, support those who understood and acted upon what we are speaking about, and to support them and bring them home. Thank you.
Right now, we've got to make sure Mamiya gets a new trial. We'll be giving you continuous updates on that. Just remember, August 5th, House Church, 2 to 4 p.m. Free the Move 9.
It's actually 2 to 8 p.m. It's 2 to 8 p.m.
Thank you. That's why we need you. Attention to detail. Thank you.
See you again.
Free to be free. I wish